ओमज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनःभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं नृपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स पदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकांत राधाकांत नमस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानं पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसादि गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। मुखं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयति गिरिं यत्कृपा तमहं वंदे श्रीगुरुन् दिनतारिणं परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्यमीश्वरम्। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 4, chapter entitled The Characteristics of Rishabhadeva. Text 5. So the text is in prose form. So I'll read the text and word-to-word meanings. विदिता अनुरागम आपौर प्रकृति जनपद राजा नाभिरात्मजं समयो सेतु रक्षायाम अभिशिच्य ब्राह्मणेषु उपनिधाय सह मेरुदेव्वा विशालायं प्रसन्न निपुनेन तपसा समाधि युगेन नर नारायण आख्यं भगवन्तं वासुदेवं उपासिनः कालेन तात महिमानं अबाप। वर्ड मीनिंग विदिता, प्लीज रिपीट आफ्टर मी, विदिता नोन वेरी वेल, अनुरागम पॉपुलैरिटी, आपौर प्रकृति एमंग ऑल सिटीजन्स एंड गवर्नमेंट ऑफिसर्स, जनपद desiring to serve the people in general, Raja, the king, Navi, Atmajam, his son, Samayo Shetu Rakshayam, to protect the people strictly according to the Vedic principles of religious life, avishichya enthroning brahmaneshu to the learned brahmanas, upanidhaya entrusting saha with merudevya his wife merudevi, Vishalayam in Badarikasram, Prasanna Nipuneno, performed with great satisfaction and expertise, tapasa, by austerities and penances, samadhi yogena, by full samadhi, Naro Narayano Akham, named Naro Narayano, Bhagavantam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudevam, Krishna, Upashinaha, worshipping, Kaleno, in due course of time, Tat Mahimanam, His glorious abode, the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, Abapa, achieved. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. King Navi understood that his son Rishabhadeva was very popular among the citizens and among government officers and ministers. Understanding the popularity of his son, Maharaj Navi enthroned him as the emperor of the world to give protection to the general populace in terms of the Vedic religious system. To do this, he entrusted him into the hands of learned Brahmanas who would guide him in administrating the government. Then Maharaj Navi and his wife, Merudevi, went to Badarikasram in the Himalaya mountains, where the king engaged himself very expertly in austerities and finances with great jubilation. In full samadhi, he worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nara Narayana, who is Krishna in his plenary expansion. By doing so, in course of time, Maharaj Navi was elevated to the spiritual world known as Vaikuntha. Purport. When Maharaj Navi saw that his son Rishabhadeva was popular with the general populace and the government servants, he chose to install him on the imperial throne. In addition, he wanted to entrust his son into the hands of the learned Brahmanas. This means that a monarch was supposed to govern strictly according to Vedic principles under the guidance of learned Brahmanas, who would advise him according to the standard Vedic scriptures like Manusmriti and similar shastras. It is the duty of the king to rule the citizens according to Vedic principles. According to Vedic principles, society is divided into four categories: Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. Chaturvarnam Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasha. After dividing society in this way, it is the king's duty to see that everyone executes Vedic principles according to his caste. A Brahmana must perform the duty of a Brahmana without cheating the public. It is not that one attains the name of a Brahmana without the qualifications. It is the king's duty to see that everyone engages in his occupational duty according to Vedic principles. In addition, retirement at the end of life is compulsory. Maharaj Navi, although still a king, retired from family life and went with his wife to a place called Badarikasram in the Himalayas, where the deity Nara Narayan is worshipped. The words Prasanna Nipuneno Tapasa indicate that the king accepted all kinds of austerity very expertly and jubilantly. He did not at all mind living his comfortable life at home, although he was the emperor. Despite undergoing severe austerities in finances, he felt very pleased at Badrikashram, and he did everything there expertly. In this way, being fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, Samadhi Yoga, always thinking of Krishna, Vasudeva, Maharaj Navi attained success at the end of his life and was promoted to the spiritual world, Vaikuntha Loka. This is the way of Vedic life. One must stop the process of repeated birth and death and return home back to Godhead. The words Tan Mahimanam Abapo are significant in this regard. Srila Sridhar Swami says that Mahima means liberation in this life. We should act in such a way in this life that after giving up this body, we will become liberated from the bondage of repeated birth and death. This is called Jivan Mukta. Srila Viraraghava Acharya states that in the Chandogya Upanishad, there are 8 symptoms of a Jivan Mukta. A person who is already liberated even when living in this body. The first symptom of one so liberated is that he is freed from all sinful activities. Apahata papa. As long as one is under the clutches of Maya and the material energy, one has to engage in sinful activities. Bhagavad Gita describes us people as duskritinaha, which indicates that they are always engaged in sinful activities. Only who is liberated in this life does not commit any sinful activities. Sinful activities involves illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication and gambling. Another symptom of a liberated person is vijara, which indicates that he is not subjected to the miseries of old age. Another symptom is Vimrittu. A liberated person prepares himself in such a way that he does not take on any more material bodies which are destined to die. In other words, he does not fall down again to repeated birth and death. Another symptom is Vishoka, which indicates that he is callous to material distress and happiness. Another is Bijighatsa, which indicates that he no longer desires material enjoyment. Another symptom is Apipata, which means that he has no desire other than to engage in devotional service of Krishna, his dearmost pursuable Lord. A further symptom is Satya Kama, which indicates that all his desires are directed to the Supreme Truth, Krishna. He does not want anything else. He is Satya Sankalpa. Whatever he desires is fulfilled by the grace of Krishna. First of all, he does not desire anything for his material benefit. And secondly, if he desires anything at all, he simply desires to serve the Supreme Lord. That desire is fulfilled by the Lord's grace. That is called Satya Sankalpa. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that the word Mahima means returning to the spiritual world, back home, back to Vaikuntha. Sri Sukadeva Goswami says that the word Mahima means that the devotee attains the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is called Sadharma, or the same quality. Just as Krishna is never born and never dies, his devotees who return to Godhead never die and never take birth within the material world. Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Sharupo Damodara Swaminiti Namine Namashad Bhaktamane Manipurodbhavaya Cha Prabhu Padu Lashad Pani Pracharo Niratayate. So, Rishabhadev was an incarnation of Krishna. King Nabhi, he saw that all the citizens and the ministers in his assembly, they liked Rishabhadeva. So he decided that Rishabhadeva should become the king. So he enthroned Rishabhadeva as a king, and he entrusted Rishabhadeva under the guidance of expert and qualified Brahmins. So in this regard, we can get an idea of monarchism, which is practically, which has practically vanished from the planet today. Generally, the world is controlled by the democratic setup, which is one of the worst system, democracy. In ancient India, the world was governed by monarchism, by the kings. They used to rule the world. So why this monarchism is the best system? It is very difficult to convince the modern people. If they hear the word monarchism, they become disturbed, they feel disturbed. They think, even though they are suffering a lot by following this democratic setup, still they think that democracy is the best possible system. But if a person has little intelligence, he can understand how, I mean, what kind of abominable and worst system is democracy. If you browse through a newspaper, you will see all rubbish news are coming out. People are being murdered every day. Every day there are chaos, and I mean, there is no peacefulness in the society. People are suffering like anything. There is no justice. Because the kingdom, the society is controlled by ordinary people. In a book I read that in democracy, donkeys are more powerful than super brain. Donkeys are more powerful than super brain. Because if two donkeys cast their boat to another donkey, so even if there is a super brain as a candidate, he may become defeated in democracy. Prabhupada gave the example of sun and glowworm. So glowworms are many in numbers, especially in rainy season, in Amavasya and dark moon night. There are so many glowworms. But the sun is one in the sky. But if there is a vote of the glowworms, they may select another glowworms, maybe little more powerful glowworms, firefly. But they may not care to select the sun. They are not qualified to understand the importance of sun. So they may select or elect somebody who is closer to them. So in this way, in the society of glowworms and fireflies, the sun may not be elected or selected. So general people, they are not so qualified. Just like in nursery class, there are so many students, but if you go upper classes like master degree or PhD, the number of students are very less. But in nursery level, there are so many students. So majority means this is not, they are not very qualified. That's why the word is there, mass and class. Mass and class. Class means they are very intelligent and qualified. But who is greater in number, mass or class? So in democracy, mass control the class. And this is the main defect. The donkeys, they control the super brain. This is the main defect in democracy. But here you see that King Navi, although he selected his son Rishabhadev as the king, but still he considered the opinion and the feelings of the general mass. It is also true that general mass has to have some sympathy and respect to the leader, otherwise the leader cannot control the general mass. But that popularity has to be authorized. It is not that, you know, some rubbish people, you know, they elect somebody as, you know, leader, and without authorization of qualified king, he becomes king or minister. That is not scientific. The popularity must be considered, just like Srila Prabhupada was popular among his disciples. That's why he could control very easily, because the disciple used to obey Srila Prabhupada with great respect. So this respect and popularity is one condition to have nice controlling. So Rishabhadeva, he had that popularity, and that was considered by King Navi. And also the ministers, those who are certainly qualified, they also had good respect for Rishabhadeva. So King Navi considered all these things, and he enthroned Rishabhadeva as king. And not only that, he engaged some qualified Brahmins to guide him. So that means the kings, they used to rule the country under the guidance of qualified Brahmins, those who are very much expert in scriptures. The society has to be ruled under the guidance of qualified Brahmin and scriptures, scriptural knowledge. So according to scripture, the society has to be divided into four varnas and ashramas, chaturvarnam, four caste and spiritual level, four kinds of spiritual level and four castes. So that is the king's main duty. In modern democratic system, that is 100% ignored. The king should see that a Brahmin is following all the rules and regulations meant for the Brahmins. In Manu Sanhita, all the rules and regulations are mentioned. What a Brahmin should follow, what rules and regulations should be followed by a Kshatriya, what rules and regulations should be followed by Vaishyas and Shudras. These are clearly mentioned in Manu Sanhita. So the king's duty is to see that all the varnas and ashramas, they are following the rules and regulations mentioned in the scriptures. So in that sense, the king can even sometimes control disqualified Brahmins. If king sees that a Brahmin is not following the rules and regulations mentioned in the scriptures, then king can interfere. Generally, Brahmins are the guardians of the king, but in special cases, when Brahmins are not following the rules and regulations, king can interfere. King can, abandon some Brahmin. If king wants, king can ignore some Brahmins. So this is the king's duty to see that Brahmins are following Brahminical principles. And it is Brahmin's duty to control the true Brahmin, the qualified Brahmins should control the king. And king should control the Vaishyas, and Vaishyas should control the, generally, the Shudras. So in this way, the always the inferiors are under the control of superiors. And when society is controlled by the Brahmins, there is an interrelation. It is not that only Brahmins will control the Kshatriya. Kshatriya will also control the disqualified Brahmins. And qualified Brahmins will control a Kshatriya or king. And a king must obey 100% the qualified Brahmins. As long as the Brahmin is qualified, the king must follow him. So in this way, society will be managed very nicely. There will be no chaos. It is hard that at the time of King Ramchandra, people used to sleep sometimes in summer season, opening their doors in midnight. In summer season, for getting natural fresh air, they used to keep their doors open. And nowadays, even with 5-6 locks, we are afraid that any time robbers or thieves can come. But at the time of King Ramchandra, the people, especially in summer season, they used to keep their doors open at night and used to sleep without any tension. So this is the proof of a successful king. If king hears that somebody wants to close the door in summer, he feels that it is an insult to me. I am not a qualified king. Otherwise, why they are afraid? Why they have so much tension? So from this, if we compare with this standard, then we can understand how much degraded the present democratic setup has become. How much it has degraded, if we compare with this standard. So it is practically impossible in Kali Yuga to revive that monarchism. But still, we can adopt some principles, just like in ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada was honored like a king. In monarchism, general people could meet the king, any person, a layman also could reveal his heart to the king. And because people are happy, there are not many problems. If nowadays this facility is given, the king cannot sleep, the minister cannot sleep, because only there are problems and problems and problems. But at the time of monarchism, the king used to keep his door open. Any layman could meet him and disclose his problem. And king did not get so many problems because the kingdom was running smoothly. Only few people used to come, and a layman also could meet the king and express his problem, explain his problem, and the king could take step immediately. So in this way, after enthroning Rishabhadeva, King Nabhi, to set example of Banaprastha, he left the kingdom. For a king who is living a comfortable life, very comfortable life, because nobody can live as comfortable life as a king leads. King leads the maximum comfortable life. So the king, because the kings are very qualified, very, very qualified, beyond the imagination of present people. The kings are very, very qualified. They are Mahabhagavat. In those days, kings are Mahabhagavat. Sometimes people ask question, that if monarchism is so nice, why it is defeated? Why it is defeated? The answer is very simple, because there is no qualified kings. If the king is qualified, Krishna will support, because king is the representative of God. So if king is qualified, Krishna will support to protect him. Just like Krishna, Ramchandra killed Ravana and protected and enthroned Vibhishan. So because Vibhishan was qualified, so if king is qualified, Krishna will protect that king. But because nowadays there is no qualified person to become king, so that's why naturally this democratic setup has become so strong. So those kings, they were called Rajarshi. They were like sages. And at the end of life, when they used to cross 50 years, when they used to become 50 years old, they used to give up the kingdom. After enthroning the qualified son, they used to go to the forest for their spiritual emancipation. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. So among the generally Brahmana, they follow the four ashramas. Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasa. These four ashramas, a true Brahmin generally they follow these four ashramas. And Kshatriya, they follow three ashrams. Brahmachari, Garhastha, Vanaprastha. Generally Kshatriya, they don't take Sannyas. And Vaishyas, they follow two ashrams. Brahmachari and Grihastha. And Shudra, they follow one ashram, that is Grihastha. They have no Brahmachari life. Generally, this is the formula. So, because Nabhi was a king, he took, as a perfect king, he followed this Vanaprastha after enthroning Rishabhadeva. And he performed austerity and penances and practiced spiritual life very sincerely in Badrika Ashram, and he achieved perfection. Tat Mohimanam Abapa. He achieved the glory of God. So glory of God, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has explained that he achieved Vaikuntha. Srila Sukadeva Goswami has explained that he achieved complete Krishna consciousness. So all the same. Because once you are completely Krishna conscious, you are always in Vaikuntha or Goloka. It depends on the consciousness. Consciousness is the main thing. When you are spiritually completely Krishna conscious, then you are always liberated. This is the word Srila Prabhupada explains so elaborately. Jivan Mukta. Jivan Mukta means you are always liberated. Even within this body, you are liberated. Viraraghava Acharya has mentioned eight symptoms of Jivan Mukta from Chandogya Upanishad. This is very, very interesting. Let us try to understand these eight symptoms. In one verse of, I think it is from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Iha Jasya Harir Dasya Karmana Manushagira Nikhilashapi Avasthasu Jivan Mukta Shauchate. That person who is always absorbed in Krishna consciousness, serving Krishna, Harir Dasya, is in the mode of service of Lord Hari by his work, by his mind, by his words, and under all circumstances, he is only thinking of Krishna, serving Krishna, and speaking about Krishna. He is called Jivan Mukta. There are two words. One is called Jivan Mukta, another is called Jivan Mrita. Jivan Mukta means he is liberated even when he is living within his body. And Jivan Mrita means he is dead even though he is living within this material body. He is practically dead. Jivan Mrita. Neha jat karma dharmayo, no viragayo kalpati, no tirthapada sevayoi, jivan napi mritahisha. Neha jat karma dharmayo, a person whose work doesn't lead to religiosity and whose religiosity does not lead him to renunciation and whose renunciation doesn't lead him to serve the pure devotees. Tirthapada, tirthapada means pure devotees. Those who are not serving pure devotees, so they are actually practically dead, even though they are living within this body. So they are called Jivan Mrita, and the opposite word is Jivan Mukta. So Jivan Mukta means completely Krishna conscious. So Srila Viraraghava Acharya has quoted eight symptoms of Jivan Mukta. Well, first symptom is Apahata Papa. He is completely free from sinful activities. Srila Prabhupada explained that sinful activities means follow, I mean the four regulative principles, I mean those who break these four regulative principles, they are jivan mrita. And those who are strictly following these four regulative principles, they are jivan mukta, they are liberated. Few days back our Kante Prabhu was giving class that sometimes we become little thoughtful who is really pure devotee and who is really, you know, liberated. So very clear symptom is given here that if you follow four regulative principles, you are jivan mukta. This is one symptom. Then bijara. Bijara means he is not affected by old age. We see the life of Srila Prabhupada. He started his youth at the age of 70, practically speaking. He went to America. Even before his departure, he went to London. If you see that CD, you will see. He, at that time, he was practically skeleton. And he went to London and he was dancing in Ratha Yatra just before his departure from this planet. So, Prabhupada is the best example that how a pure devotee is free from the influence of old age. Old age cannot affect a pure devotee. I have seen different death in my life and I saw how horrible they were throwing their hands and legs and crying in pain. But if you see the CD, how Prabhupada left his body, he was completely peaceful. I mean, it is complete, really uncommon, uncommon. So, it is true that all these material rules are passing through his body, birth, old age, everything, but he is not affected. He is not affected by the changes. So that's why another symptom of liberated person is he is not influenced by old age. Is second symptom. The third symptom, vimrittu. Vimrittu means he is not affected by death. Actually, there are two types of death. One death is you are completely unconscious. At the moment of death, you are completely unconscious. Another death is you are fully Krishna conscious at the time of living body. The example can be given. Suppose a child is sleeping in his room. Sometimes guardian, they carry the child, the sleeping child, they carry to the next room. From one room to another room, the child is sleeping. So this is one kind of transformation from one room to another room. But child is not sleeping. Suppose the child is not sleeping and he is transferred from one room to another room. So death is like two kinds. In one death, the person is sleeping. He doesn't know how he is transformed from one body to another body. So that is actually, that is death, real death. That is a symptom of material death. But if the person is not sleeping at the time of death, if the person is fully conscious, he knows that I am leaving this body, I am leaving this room, and I am entering into another room, he is completely awakened, he is not in sleep, that is not death. That is not death. He knows I am going out from this body and I am entering into another body. He is completely conscious. So it cannot be called death because he is conscious. He is not sleeping. Just like a child changes his room from one room to another room, he goes without sleeping, or somebody carries him when he is not sleeping. He is awakened. Similarly, a purely Krishna conscious person, he doesn't die. Because when he leaves body, he is completely conscious that I am leaving this body and I either if Krishna wants, he can enter into somebody or he can go back to Godhead. This is up to Krishna. If Krishna wants, Krishna can keep also if he wants for preaching purpose or for his mission if he wants. But anyway, because he is not sleeping at the moment of death, at the moment of death he is fully conscious. That's why this is not death. So this is another symptom of liberation, vimrittu. He doesn't die. He doesn't die means at the time of living body, he doesn't become unconscious. Another is bishuka. Number four, the qualification of a liberated person is bishuka. That means he is not affected by miseries and even happiness. He is not affected. He takes both equally. The miseries are also mercy of Krishna and happiness is also mercy of Krishna. He is completely unaffected. So this is another symptom. If you see that a devotee is not disturbed under any condition, he is not proud of his happiness and he is not, affected by the miseries. If we find that some devotee is equipoised under all circumstances, he considers everything as Krishna's mercy and he is not disturbed, even at the moment of death, this is symptom of liberation. Number five, he is not running after material enjoyment. He is not mad for material enjoyment. He can eat to maintain his body, but he is not mad for material enjoyment. He is little callous to material enjoyment. Number six is apipata. Apipata means he doesn't have any other desire except serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is only desire, how to serve God. Even for his own eating and sleeping, he doesn't think. Automatically it is arranged by the mercy of God. A pure devotee is not worried about his eating. His footstep comes automatically. Everything for his material maintenance, everything comes automatically. His only desire is how to serve Krishna. So, whenever we read these symptoms, I always remember Srila Prabhupada. How he was completely callous of his material comfort. Otherwise, how when he went to America, he was completely old. And he got heart attacks. All the negative material influences are there. But he was not influenced. He had no money practically. He was not worried for his eating. If I go to America, how I'll eat? He was not worried. He did not went to America for a tourist, for enjoyment. He took a heavy risk, a great risk, but he was not worried. Although the risk was the greatest, but he was not worried. So this is one of the symptoms of liberation. Another symptom, symptom seven, is Shattakama. Shattakama means he only wants to serve the truth, the supreme truth, that is Krishna. His only desire is to know the supreme truth, is to serve the supreme truth, that is Krishna. So that is his another symptom. So that we have seen. Even some businessmen sometimes used to come to speak with Srila Prabhupada. Many materialistic people used to talk with Srila Prabhupada. They used to start with some materialistic topic. But Prabhupada had that power to convert any topic into Krishna consciousness. If some businessman goes, I heard one businessman who was making glasses, sand businessman. So he came to meet Prabhupada. And Prabhupada asked, what are you doing? I am doing sand business. Who makes sand? So he was little intelligent. He replied, Krishna makes sand. So you are a thief, Prabhupada said. So you are a thief, you are stealing from Krishna. So even if Prabhupada used to meet businessmen, materialistic people, and sometimes they used to talk about their business, family and this and that, but Prabhupada had that power to convert everything into Krishna consciousness. So that is Prabhupada's symptom, Shattakama. He is always interested in the supreme truth. And the eighth symptom is Shatta Sankalpa. Whatever he desires is fulfilled by Krishna's grace. Srila Prabhupada explained, of course he doesn't desire something for his personal enjoyment. He desires everything to serve Krishna. So whatever he desires, his all desires are fulfilled. That is one of the symptoms of liberation. So the example is Prabhupada. He desired that Mayapur should become a big city. It is fulfilled by Krishna's grace. He desired that a Vedic planetarium should come up. He only desired, and it is coming up. He desired that there should be a temple in Bombay, Juhu. His desire was fulfilled. He desired that Krishna consciousness should be spread in every town and villages. It is coming true. So in this way, can you mention a single desire of Srila Prabhupada which is not going to be fulfilled? I was thinking, but I could not find any. I could not find a single desire of Srila Prabhupada which is not in the process of being fulfilled. So all his desires, if you read his biography, we'll see. Whatever Srila Prabhupada desired, everything is getting fulfilled step by step. And in future it will be more fulfilled. So that is called Satta Sankalpa. Whatever a pure devotee desires, that must be fulfilled by the grace of Krishna. So this is the symptom, these are the symptom of liberation. So anybody who can, may not be incomplete, but even in some portion, in some percentage, if you can achieve these qualities, then we can become liberated even before leaving this body. So I like to stop here. Already I crossed 3 minutes. If you have any comment or question, we can try to answer.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Prem. Why is it that Maharaj Nabi is leaving the kingdom and is going into to perform austerities and penances to meditate upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead and serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead? But his son is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's no need for him to go to the mountains. He could stay at home and serve his son and worship his son.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I think the same question was discussed in yesterday's class also by Horisauri Prabhu. Same question was discussed. So my understanding is that sometimes duty is more important. Duty, as a king, he has the duty to become, to take vanaprastha. It was his duty. And I don't think that he did this without the permission of Rishabhadeva. Because he knew that my son is, of course he was influenced by Yoga Maya and he was taking care of his son as his own son. But still, I feel that he got some kind of permission from his son, and as a duty, he took vanaprastha because it was his duty. And he was carrying Rishabhadeva within his heart. Even though he went to forest, it is not that he was separated from Rishabhadeva. Rishabhadeva was within his heart. So the similar answer was given by our Horisauri Prabhu, that as a duty he did this to set example, because God is pleased when his devotee performs duty. Just like in Ramayana, you'll see Sita and Lakshmana followed Ramchandra. But Bharat and Shatrughna, they stayed, Lakshmana's wife, they stayed back in the palace. So when they wanted to go, Urmila wanted to go with Lakshman. So then they explained, no, your duty is more important. Your duty is to serve Ramchandra's mother, Kaushalya. Your duty is to serve them. So Bharat's duty was to take care of the kingdom. So sometimes, duty becomes more important, and God becomes pleased if he sees that he is performing his duty. So in this way, even in Chaitanya Charitamrita, you'll see that Nityananda Prabhu was ordered to stay in Bengal, and he did not like it. And every Ratha Jatra time, he was going by force to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But for his duty, he was in Bengal for preaching. But if he could have thought that I should stay with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all the time. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not be happy. So I think we can please God more by performing our duty rather than staying with him. If you have some comment, Prabhu, you can. Hare Krishna.
In that I just would like to say something. In that regard, there's a famous story with Hari Kesh Maharaj that he was working as Prabhupada's secretary, and he was very attached to being with Prabhupada. And he was thinking, oh, the pure devotee's on the planet. Here he is right now. I'm with him. I'm working as his secretary. I really want to be with him. This is the highest thing. But Prabhupada said, no. Go on out and preach. Go on out and preach. So he did, very reluctant. And then he got a lot of success, and he came back a year or 2 years later, and he presented to Prabhupada all the books that he was printing in different European languages. And Prabhupada became very ecstatic, and Hari Kesh became very ecstatic. So sometimes the devotees are forced into separation, but the separation is a higher thing.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Beginning of your class, you were talking about the social orders, the importance of those, and I was very impressed. The first time I came to India, it was 1976, I was in Vrindavan, and I was walking on the street, and one rickshaw wala, he grazed the leg of one man standing there, and left an oily mark on the leg. So the man went to him, went to the rickshaw wala, shouted, the rickshaw wala stopped. And the man went up and slapped him on the face. And I was thinking, if that happened in America, there would be a total riot. There'd just be fighting. It'd be absolute. But the rickshaw wala just put his head down, and he accepted the punishment. It wasn't grave. It wasn't like a slug. It wasn't like he was beating him. But he just slapped his face to say, you don't do this. You be more careful with your driving. You know, look how you've injured me. You've injured my clothes. Now, this grease obviously won't come out for some time. But I was just impressed that that social order is there in India. At that time, that's, you know, we're 30, about 40 years ago, almost. At that time, it was there. And now today, I don't know if it's there or not. But the idea that everyone has a position and everyone has a responsibility in that position, the rickshaw wala had to be very careful how he was driving. And it was up to the levels above him, whether they be the next class of Sudra or the next, you know, Vaishya or whatever, it was up to them to enforce some kind of punishment or some kind of regulation or some kind of chastisement if people step out of line.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Just to continue with the discussion a little bit, seems like it mentions that his destination was Vaikuntha. Whether or not that's used as a general term to mean the higher realms, or whether Vaikuntha, because Vaikuntha seems, from what Prabhupada gives information, that's ruled by duty. The duty and the rules and regulations in Vaikuntha, that's very important. But the higher realms are there where love, the principle of love, supersedes even duty. So the Vaikuntha, or the king's realm, is one of duty. But the principle of love supersedes duty in other realms, isn't it? Other than Vaikuntha, is that correct?
Principle of love supersedes duty.
Yes.
The duty should be performed with love.
But like instance of in Braj, Vrindavan, sometimes the duties are put aside. It's a very high platform. But Vaikuntha, duty is stressed. But I think in Vrindavan, sometimes that principle is superseded by love.
Hmm. I think you should. Yeah. I couldn't follow the point very clearly. Maybe due to I cannot follow accent nicely.
Well, we're not worshipping in that mood. We're worshipping in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan, of Vaikuntha. So that's for us, the duty is more important than some manifestation of love, because the manifestation of love may be sahajya. It may not be actually fixed. So Prabhupada was very careful to act on a certain platform. He didn't manifest his ecstasies regularly. so forth.
Yeah. Even Nanda Maharaj was performing his duty. Somebody told Nanda Maharaj that your son is God. You know your son is God. So Nanda Maharaj used to reply, he may be God, but if I don't chastise him, he will be spoiled. So that he was also feeling a kind of duty to his son. Prabhu, you wanted to say something?
Touted in Prabhupada's books as the best form of government, how come ISKCON hasn't elected or appointed someone a king yet?
How come there is no king?
Yeah, why are we still...
I already explained this point, that there is no qualified person nowadays. Because king is actually representative of God. And if he is not qualified, Krishna himself will remove him. So because Krishna removed all the kings, because nobody is qualified. So that's why it is demolished. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jaya Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki Samavata Vishnu Bhakta Vrinda ki Nitai Gaur Pramanandi Hari Hari.